Great morning, great morning, great morning, precious people. You know what time it is. It's time for your favorite talk show on the number one station right here, The Culture Call with your boy, L. Spencer Smith. It's the place where Tuscaloosa meets the world. And for the next 2 hours, from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., we're going to be talking a little bit about everything, from society to sports, education to economics, from religion to relationships. And as always, always, y'all, we are here to create a safe space to have empowering, provocative, and yes, sometimes even controversial conversations. And guess what? You can call it in or chat it up with us as we learn together right here on The Culture Call. Hey, here's one of my favorite parts of the show, the shout out time. Shout out number one to all of our new listeners. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I don't know how you heard about us, but welcome to the CC family. We are so glad and grateful that you are with us today. So no matter whether you're at work with your ear pods on, you're traveling through the city, or you maybe just be on vacation, hey, we want to thank you for being a part of The Culture Call this morning. We promise you, you will not be disappointed. Hey, find a seat. There's plenty. Go ahead, buckle up. We're about to take off. Shout out number two to all of my faithful, consistent, dedicated listeners. Hey, we would not be what we are without you. So guess what? I am always glad when you take your seat in the Culture Call family. Hey, you make this flight just what it is. And that is the best. When you see me, you encourage me, you embrace me, you hug me, you chide me, you chastise me, and I love it all because that tells me that you love me. And I really appreciate that because I love you too. Absolutely. So hey, thank you so much for being a part of the show this morning. And last but not least, shout out number three to the man with the plan. Hey, with all of the wisdom, and we here honor him as our ultimate vet, Brother Jay. Hey, yeah, Brother Jay, I'm telling you, he is amazing, leading us from 5 a.m. all the way to this time, passing us that hot baton and say, hey, run on and see what the end is going to be. He told y'all I was coming and I'm here, and he told y'all to take care of me. So, and you always do. So thank you, Brother Jay, for being who you are. Listen, if you've not done it already, because you might need it today. If you have not done it already, go to your smart device, get it in your hand, your Apple or your Android, go to the app store and type in Praise 93.3 FM, and there you're going to find an amazing app. Here's what I need you to do. Download that on your phone. That's right. Make some space on your phone for that app. Hey, because I'm telling you, it's an amazing, amazing tool to stay connected to Praise 93.3 790 WTSK and all of the amazing things that we have going on here. So go ahead and do that for me so that no matter what you're doing, if you're vacuuming, polishing the furniture. Do they still do that? Yeah. Polishing the furniture, washing your clothes, doing the laundry, whatever it is. Hey, I want you to be able to stay in touch with the amazing things, the current events, the weather, the athletic sports, the religious section, all of, hey, you just need to download that app. How about that? Hey, no matter where you are, Memphis, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Florida, you might be in Mobile, Alabama, but hey, I want you to focus in right here on Tuscaloosa. That's right, Montgomery, Huntsville, Birmingham, wherever you are. If you have that app, you can stay connected to Praise 93.3. Listen, go ahead and send me your public service announcements and events to culturecall.praise@gmail.com. That's culturecall.praise@gmail.com. And let me have an opportunity to let Lottie, Dottie, and everybody know the amazing things that's going on in your organization, your church, your fraternity, your sorority, whether you're an artist getting ready to do a concert or a preacher getting ready to run a fiery revival. We want to let everybody know the amazing things that you're doing in our community. We want to put some faces in the place so you're not in there by yourself. You know why? Because all of us have a part to do, because we do it better when we do it together. And as always, write down the golden number, 205-752-4800. That's 205-752-4800. That's it. And call into the show and be a part of the conversation. I want to hear from you. And it's going to be a doozy today. So I'm going to see if y'all going to, chat it up with me. But nonetheless, sit back and relax. Grab you some coffee or tea. You know how to do it. Maxwell House of Starbucks. Maybe coffee is not your thing. Get you some herbal tea. some chamomile if you're trying to calm down, and a little green tea if you need a little caffeine kick to help you make it to that lunch hour. And maybe coffee and teas are not your things, but go ahead, get you some water, because you got to have that water. That's right. Detox that body, wake up those cells, and come on, let's get into the culture. I am super duper excited today, just because, number one, to be alive, to be in the land of the living, to be clothed and in my right mind. I am grateful to God to have to be able to share with you on this morning, because I think I've got a great topic for us to talk about. And it's a little bit off the vector, a little bit off the beaten path. And so we're going to talk about that. But before I get there, I always want to make sure that you are aware of what's happening in our world. Y'all pay attention. Pay attention. Please pay attention to what's going on in our community, and keep praying for our country. Keep praying for our state. There's a documentary, a prison documentary that's about to, that's already out on Netflix concerning Alabama, you know, and yeah, just let's keep practicing kneology. Keep praying for our state, you know, and all of that. And then of course, keep praying for our country. And all of the things that are going on there, just a whole, listen, y'all, if you keep looking at the news, you're going to be depressed and discouraged and anxious and confused and even borderline fearful. But hey, our trust lies in God. And so we understand that things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. And so we are believing and we know that God has all things under control. And not that alleviates us from making wise decisions and choices, because consequences come from the decisions and the choices that we make, right? And so we can make our decisions and our choices, but sometimes we can't choose our consequences. And so there for every crazy, disconnected, asinine, wicked kind of thing, depraved thing that's happening, consequences are connected to that. And I think a lot of people who voted last year are seeing right now that the consequences of what they elected. And so, yeah. So we just got to keep praying and make better decisions. Let me say it again. And make better decisions. So that's all I'm going to say about that. This morning, I want to talk about something, because I've had a lot of people to ask me about this, what my thoughts were on it. And I didn't post it online. Number one, because I was focused on something else. Number two, I don't want to go back and forth with folks, you know, because everybody's smart. Everybody knows what they know when it's on social media, right? So, you know, so I was like, yeah, I'm not going to do that one. I just hold that, and maybe I'll just try that on my show. Right. And I was asked by an individual, actually a couple of individuals. There's a conversation that's happening right now in the culture about, should men and women go 50-50 in a relationship, in a marital relationship, or a relationship period, right? Should men and women split the check? Should they split all the work and all that kind of stuff? And I was like, you know, I don't think they were satisfied with my answer. I said, number one, you're a single person and I'm married, been married for 30 years. And yeah, I don't even think that you have the range to even have this conversation with me. And that wasn't an off-putting thing, because I think sometimes we think curiosity means knowledgeability, right? But just because I'm curious about a thing doesn't necessarily mean that I know about what I'm curious about, right? So I just kind of had to let that person know, yo, I am, you know, I've been married 30 years. I'm a father of 4 children. And yeah, you're still single. So I get what you're asking me, but you're asking me based upon what the culture is saying currently, right? You're asking me with no prior knowledge to, you know, any kind of other context other than what you're asking, right? And I get it. I ain't mad at you, because, hey, my job is to help. My job is to give knowledge where I can give knowledge and give insight where I can give knowledge. But that seems to be a big, big, major question that's going on. And so, you know, I went down the rabbit hole. I started doing research, looking at certain, you know, reels and things like that on social media, just kind of seeing where people were positioned with regards to it. And then I started looking to see what Christian people were saying about it and what non-Christian people were saying about it, or better yet, believers and unbelievers had to say about the subject matter. And quite frankly, it was very interesting. I was like, yo, we definitely need some teaching with regards to relationships in church, and from the church, from the pulpit, right? And I don't think that it's antithetical to biblical teaching. I don't think that it's antithetical to the gospel. I don't think that that is anti-Christ or anti-Jesus in any way, simply because every text doesn't take you to the cross. I don't think that breaks any law. It might break a law in terms of people, but it doesn't break any biblical law, you know? So as I started going down this hole, you know, I started looking at, listening to some of the arguments, listening to some of the criticisms of each side, the positives of some sides, the positives of other sides. And I was like, yo, you know, first of all, let me say this. Before I give my answer on what I think, before I do that, let me be very clear that this is not a castigation on what you do in your house, in your relationship, right? No judgment here. We listen and we don't judge, right? That's exactly what we are doing today. I have no judgment. If you and Wilma or you and Leroy have what y'all got, y'all keep what y'all got if it works for y'all. I think one of the things that we do is we try to impute rules and regulations based upon our particular interpretation, lens, and experiences on other people's relationship, other people's houses. And we mess up tearing up their house because of what goes on in our house. If you love it at the Wilson house, if you love it at the Bradley house, if you love it at the Smith house, keep what makes your house work. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord in the way we see the Lord, right? So, I mean, it is what it is. And so, you know, I'm 30 years of pastoring will teach you that, right? 30 years of pastoring will teach you that my job is just simply to be an objective dispenser of knowledge and truth. Right. I have no dogs in the fight, because what works for L. Spencer Smith and Patrice, that's our thing. Right. That's how we do our family, how we get down in our economics and our relationships. If it is successful to us, I don't necessarily. Now, if you ask me what we do, I'll share it. And then I'm going to put the caveat on it to say, yeah, but that might not work for you because you're not married to who I'm married to. That you, your wife may not have the experiences that I have, right? Or that my wife has. And so we bring certain things to the table that I think are very important for us to lean into when we talk about this conversation. But yeah. A lot of people really, really want to know, should it be a 50-50 deal? You know, I'm going to pay 50% of the bills. I'm going to pay, you do 50% of the work, blah, 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 blah. Let me say this. As a little boy, roles were more clearer defined when I looked at my grandparents and my great-grandparents, right? The roles were much more clear. Let's start off that conversation. And you have to understand, at my age, I was born in the 70s, coming out of the 60s. You know, I was top of 71 is when I was born. And so my lens saw things that right now, this generation perhaps cannot comprehend. And so back in that day, there wasn't a lot of talk about roles and what you do. And what your responsibilities were, right? Because my grandparents were raised, my parents were raised from people who understood certain things, certain particularities about the culture in which they lived, right? There was no what do wives do and what do husbands do. That wasn't even talk. That wasn't even, you know, the talk of relationships and you know, relationship boundaries and limitations, that wasn't even a conversation when I came up. All I knew is that my granddaddy went out to do revivals, and he preached, you know, with my great grandfather. They would run revivals, and my grandmother would be home with us. But my grandmother was a master degree principal, you know, so she was a principal at a school for, I think, over 30 years. She was there for a long time. And so she would work. She was working. As a matter of fact, my grandfather at the time paid for her. When he married her, he paid for her to go to school. He paid for her to get her master's degree, right? And even when she went to Indiana University to get her master's in education, he paid for that. And how did he pay for that? He was paying for that by the revivals that he ran, right? Because the only job that I ever knew that my granddaddy had was being a preacher, was being a pastor. And he took the little bit that he had from the revivals, saved it up, and sent my grandmother to college, right? And to university. And that's how we grew up. And so, you know, there was always a sense of agency between both my grandparents. My father's parents, grandparents, my granddaddy, he was a soybean farmer when you could really make money back then that time. And he was a pastor as well. My father's father was a pastor as well in the AME Zion Church. And so, you know, all I knew him to do was be on that tractor, you know, with his fields and his acres, selling soybeans at the mill. And then on Sundays and on Wednesdays, I believe, he would go Bible study, and then he would pastor in church. And that's what it. That was it. And my grandmother was basically a homemaker, but she was also a teacher's aide, you know, at the local elementary school when I grew up. And so, you know, it was never this whole idea of roles and responsibilities. It was, we will both do what we have to do to take care of the house. Number one, we will both do what we have to do to take care of one another, right? And so that's very important. That's my foundation, right? Let me say it again. With my mom and dad, you know, my mom was a teacher. My dad was a teacher as well. And it wasn't any roles. You stay home and cook, and you stay home and do this, and you go out and work, and you pay all this. No, at that time, they put their heads together. They put their resources together, because the only thing that was important to them was making sure that our house was taken care of and that the children had what they needed. That is my lens. I want to start off there, because a lot of times we're having conversations in the now that were not had back in the day, if I can say it like that. I hope y'all understand what I mean. And so I think we gin up in a generation that want to be, they identify themselves by their roles. Let me say that again. They identify themselves by their roles, right? And they are researched, and they go down, you know, the internet and all these. And so they say, well, a wife's supposed to do that. And here it is. It's also coming, it's also a religious and in a church kind of context, because you get people preaching this in church as well. And what we don't understand is sometimes the teaching causes conflict, because we're trying to teach an ancient book in modern times and hold fast to the ancient book as if the ancient book did not have particularities in that time, right? So we're preaching in 2025. Like it is in the BC and AD age. And that is going to cause in a Near East culture at that, a totally different culture than American culture. Right. And so you have young ladies like, no, I'm not doing that. I ain't doing that. I'm not. Well, you know, when it says, you know, wives obey your husbands, submit to your husbands. They hear it through a different lens now. Because when Paul was talking about that, he was talking about a house code, right? He wasn't necessarily at the time, listen to me, he wasn't necessarily at the time talking about anything that was ubiquitous that would last for all times. Paul was designatedly talking to specific people, specific churches in Ephesus, and he was pointing out certain things to certain people. In Ephesus, he even says to you, it says to us that the issue of marriage, it's a mystery that reveals Christ and his church. So he's really using marriage between man and woman symbolically, metaphorically, figuratively, to point out the relationship of Christ and the church, right? It's right there in Ephesians chapter 5. But again, when we begin to delve in with relationships and the times have changed, now we're trying to figure out this, our significance in relationships, and what do we bring to the table, and are you worthy of what I bring to the table? You know, and that's not just female, that's male, that's not just women, that's men as well. Everybody wants to know, is the person that I'm in relationship worthy of what I'm bringing to the table? And I think that conversation is a non-starter. I don't think that's not necessarily the conversation you have when you're trying to build. Now, again, let me give the caveat. let me give some boundaries and some you know. I am not judging anybody. I'm just saying, from my experience and my research and my knowledge base, that conversation is a non-starter to what's really on the table. Because here is the deal. We say these vows, right? We say these vows for what? For better and for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, forsaking all others, right? That's what we say. As long as God helps us, I'm pledging that to you. And here's the deal. The reason why what you bring to the table, 50-50, may not necessarily be a starter or a foundation, because richer or poor, they might have it today, but then 5 years from now, they lose their job. Then what? You're out for sickness and in health. That person could be well today, but if they have a stroke, is that a reason to end it? Right? For richer, for poor, sickness and health, right? Ins and out, ups and downs. That's what we vow. That's what the vows are going to be. And so automatically the vows disavows this whole concept of 50-50. You know why? Because life be life and life changes, right? My dad was healthy until he had his stroke. And then my mom had to take care of him. She had to pull the weight of the house because dad could not work. He could not work, you see? And so 50-50 went out of the window. She was doing 80-20. You see what I'm saying? Right? And so when my grandmother went to college and, you know, and all of that, and she was in school, my granddaddy had to pull the weight. He had to pull 80-90%. Right? So 50-50 was out the window, right? And so I'm just trying to set some parameters here. I'm trying to get you to see through a different lens, that maybe that question is the problem of why we can't have solid, stable, long-lasting relationships in our community. Because you're looking for somebody, number one, sometimes the women are looking for somebody to take care of them. And then there's another flip that God's like, well, if I'm taking care of you, here's what you do. Then you take care, you stay home and take care of the kids. Children? I don't know. I know I'm talking about my nails and my hair and my car. And I want to live in a nice place. Yeah, okay, you want all that, but what do you bring to the table? Right? And so, you know, and it's vice versa. Sir, you can't just sit home while she's doing all the work, or you can't expect her to do certain things when she too has responsibility to make sure that you, that what you all have is veritably sustained. And so when you start a relationship off with the numbers, with percentages, and then you come to the altar and you take those vows, your vows automatically, and dare I say, divinely, erases the board of all of the mathematics that y'all said y'all were going to do, right? Unless you come into marriage with divorce as an option. Okay, let's try it again. Unless you come into the marital relationship with divorce as an option, you know, then yeah, I'm that's the issue. You see what I'm saying? That's the problem. That is the, you know, and so one of the things that I'm trying to get you to understand is this, is that culture call. We cannot start off this relationship, because when you ask them, well, do you want your relationship to last? Absolutely. I want a long lasting relationship like my grandmama had. They were married for 50 years. Absolutely. I want a relationship like my parents have. They were married for 40 years. Okay. Then you need to maybe ask them how they did it instead of trying to make up some rules of engagement in relationships and an experience that you don't even have. You see what I'm saying? Because I am telling you, those numbers go out the door if you truly want, if the outcome you want and the end result you want is a lasting marriage, then your numbers are going to have to sorely decrease. And I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. I'm telling you. So, you know, if you're listening to me and you're like, well, I'm one of those 50-50 people, I'm going to tell you here. You might want to reevaluate. I'm not going to tell you anything. The only thing that I'm going to tell you is reevaluate based upon what I just said. Based upon what I just said, because life, you know, life comes at you fast. And one car accident, one diagnosis, one downturn in the economic sector, in the employment sector, one situation could cause all those dynamics to change. And here it is. If those dynamics change, right? If you lose your job or your husband or your wife loses their job, then are you saying to them that that is a deal breaker to you? Better yet, don't even let me say deal. That's a covenant breaker to you that you're going to get out because I can't bring my 50. Because here's the truth of the matter. In life, nobody can guarantee 50-50. Because you could be up today and things be down tomorrow. And the question you need to ask is, are you committed to us in mountains and in valleys? Are you committed to us in vicissitudes? Are you committed to us on bad days and just as you are on good days? Right? Are you committed to us when the intimacy is high only? And when the intimacy is low or I can't perform like I used to perform, then now you're looking for a new love baby. You got to ask the right questions, beloved. You got to ask the right questions, because if you don't, you're going to end up at the altar marrying a lie that you created. You're going to end up being in covenant with something that you cannot maintain. Listen, this is going to be our conversation today, and it's going to be a doozy. You don't want to miss it. Hey, this is your boy, Elspeth Smith, right here on The Culture Call. Praise 93.3 FM, 790 WTSK. Keep it locked right here. This is the world and we are back right here on The Culture Call with your boy, Elspeth Smith. And I'm telling you, we're having a great day already. And I know I started shaking the table. Here's the big question, y'all. Should men and women be 50-50 in relationships? And I mean, it is what it is. And I mean, I get where everybody is. I get both sides of the argument. I understand. And I was sharing in our first part of the show, you just my perspective. And it is exactly what it is. It's my perspective. You know, I did not grow up with seeing 50-50 paradigms. I didn't do that. I grew up seeing my parents, my grandparents, you know, work in whatever capacity that was needed so that their houses could survive. Their houses could go forward. The children were taken care of. They sent all of us to college, you know, it made sure we had the things that we needed. Maybe not all the things that we wanted, but definitely all the things that we needed. And they did it. They did it even in, you know, economically struggling times. I know my parents did. We did it in economically struggling times. You know, we weren't as rich and as, you know, prosperous as we grew to be in the years, but they made it happen. They made a way. And so, I think one of the fascinating things that, we're having a conversation in this season is that we're looking at, I believe that, yes, marriage is a business decision. It is an economic. Let me say that. I like that term better. Marriage is an economic decision. I love that, right? So we have no problems there. The issue, however, comma, that we would have is when economics becomes so business that I begin to determine your worth to me based upon what I perceive you can do for me. You see what I'm saying? And so when we start looking across the table into the eyes of other individuals, thinking that the primary goal is to discover and to figure out, you know, how much money you make and how much money I make, then you got an account and I got an account, and then then we got a little account that we just pay bills out of them. The idea becomes, then what is the purpose of marriage? What is the purpose of having that kind of relationship? What is the purpose of then, you know, wanting to be a part of something that, you know, here's the deal. I wouldn't want to be in a relationship. Let me just say it like this. I wouldn't want to be in a relationship with somebody that only saw me for what I could produce in terms of how much money I make and what I bring to the table. I would not want that at all. That would be terrible, because now I could have stayed single and had 100%. Then to get married or get in a relationship and have to do 50, you're thinking that, oh, I can't, because here it is. If it's only 50-50, watch it, then you're keeping half of you for yourself. Am I looking at that wrong? I don't think I am. But if it's 50-50, and we're calling that 100. No, the truth of the matter is, it's just 50 from you and 50 from me, right? That's where it's negotiated, but I'm keeping half of myself for me and half of yourself for you. So then how are we revealing and reflecting this whole idea of the two shall become one when each of us are holding on still what? To 50-50. I mean, it's not rocket science, but I think that the part of our conversation is that we got to do heart work. H-E-A-R-T, heart work. And that's what it is. It's not, you know, nobody's going to get married to struggle. Nobody's going to do this and that and that and the other. I get all of that. I hear what you're saying. Or better yet, I hear what you're trying to say. But the reality is, y'all, the reality is that it's got to make sense. It's got to make, how the kids say, make it make sense. It's got to make sense. If what is the standard and the virtue and the efficacy that you are looking for in your marriage, right? If the whole idea is 50-50 and I keep some for myself, that makes it much easier to push the car, put the car into R, reverse, get out, right? One of the parts of the ceremony that I do when I marry people is I do the sand ceremony, right? Others do the candle ceremony. You know, it's that part of the service, right? We call it the unity candle. Some call it the sand ceremony. And when we do the unity candle, when they opt to do the unity candle, the groom takes the candle and the bride takes a candle and they light a middle candle together and they blow out their own candle. And they blow out their own candle. You feel me? Okay, cool. No problem. Good deal. Okay. So then I said to them, when you can get your own piece of the fire back is when you can get out of it. Got it? Good. We do the sand. And she get a vessel, she pours in her sand, he pours in his sand, and I take it, stir it up, and mix it, right? And then I set it down. They place their vials. Their vials are empty. They don't keep some for themselves. They don't put 50% of the sand in or 50% of the candle in, or they keep their candle, their own candle lit. No, They blow up their candle and they empty out their vessel. And I shake it around and I said, when you can get your all of your sand back from this, then you can get out of it. That's the covenant. And everybody's crying, oh, that's so sweet. They take pictures of it. How do you do that? How do you do that 50-50? How do you do that? How do you do that with the mechanism of the marriage or the relationship being 50-50? Because it goes the same way. I don't put 50% of my check that I get in and my wife put 50% of her check. No, it's all right here. And we figure out how we're going to navigate together. Now, can I get what I need when I need it? Yeah. Because I work for the money. I ought to be able to get something too. So that doesn't stop me from, you know, it's not like, oh, I have nothing for myself. No, I have nothing to myself. That I'm giving all of myself to make sure, watch this, that we work. You see what I'm saying? So that we make sure that we work. Yo, excuse me, I had to sneeze. Right? So we make sure that we do that. We make sure that that is what we do. And so it's not an issue of you know, I heard amazing conversation. And, you know, I want to make sure that he's doing his job. And that is called distrust. I want to make sure that she, you know, doing her part. And that's called mistrust, because your eye is so busy on my part, on my paper, that you're not paying attention to yours. And that goes both ways. You're so busy telling me what I should be doing as a husband, and I'm so busy telling you what you should be doing as a wife. And none of us are paying attention to ourselves doing what we are supposed to be doing in the relationship for the other person. Right? And so we set up all of these caveats. We set up all of these mindsets and mentalities. We do all that kind of stuff. We say what we go, you know, I ain't gonna do this. I ain't gonna do this. And I'm telling you, I've lived long enough to see us do things. Our married people do things that you never thought you would do. A year into my marriage, my wife lost her dad. And her dad was like, I mean, a tremendous part of her life. She couldn't perform. I had to arrest what I needed, what I wanted, not needed, but arrest what I needed in order to make sure that I walked through her through grief and mourning, helped the family do all that kind of stuff. And I wasn't pinching on her hip at night. I wasn't trying to force her to fulfill her wifely duties. No, we were walking through a season together because her dad was my dad. So it was like I lost a father too. Right? And these crazy arrangements these folks are coming up with now would have each other, you know, doing things by themselves, going through journey, going through grief by themselves, by their lonesome. And I'm just trying to figure out, how does that work in a relationship? Is it okay, here's the deal. Do you want a relationship or you just want sex? Because I think that's what it is. Is are we having a relationship? Are we having a conversation about something that is eternal? Or are we having a conversation about something that's going to appease you temporarily? And, you know, y'all treating each other as roommates, paying half of the bills, because that's the arrangement that roommates make. You take the gas, I take the electricity, we both split the water down to half. You know, you pay half the rent, I pay half the rent. That's the kind of relationship that's seeping up in marriages today. And I'm going to tell you, from my experience, if it works for you, and what y'all do, fine with you. I ain't mad. And neither am I here to chide, correct, or rebuke you. What I am here to do is elucidate you on a perspective. That's all that's all the man here is here to do. That's all this gray-haired man here is here to do. It's just to give you a perspective on what we're really saying. And these conversations are always had by moderators who don't have the range or the understanding of the concept of relationship. So they end up facilitating, you know, a war between men and women, and they start taking sides based upon their particular lens. I'm not taking any sides. What I am saying is, what do you want? tell the truth about what you want, because I think that is foundational. Truth is foundational to moving forward, don't you think? I think truth is foundational. And if you cannot, if you can't tell me the foundation of what's really going on, then okay, well, I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to tell you. What I am going to say is you may be put in a position where you might have to carry 100% one day, that the person who you are in a relationship may not be. Now, see, when you're single and y'all dating and all that kind of stuff and y'all impressing each other, that's cool. I think it's cool for a man to take a woman out and him pay the bill. But I also think it's cool when you're dating for a woman to take out the man and pay the bill. We ain't tripping over that. We are in this together. I mean, when you do it, when you start taking tabs, that goes against 1 Corinthians 13. It says, it takes no record. We're taking record. Who does the most for who? That's not how love works. That's not how love is designed. It's not. It's not how love is designed. And so the issue becomes, if love is not designed that way, then why are we operating like that's the way love is designed? There may be a time when that person has to 100% lean on you. Does that affect your love? Does that affect your care? Most importantly, does that affect the promises and the vows that you made for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, for sickness and the health? Does that work that way? Y'all help me understand, because I really don't understand it. I don't understand what generationally we're looking for. When my father-in-law hurt his back, my mother-in-law had to take over. She had to work multiple jobs to make sure the family was taken care of. And he was a proud man, a big proud man. But life-lifed. and you can make all of these decisions prior to life happening. And I'm telling you, life has got a way to show you your percentages and your numerics do not mean a hill of beans. I'm telling you now. So you can say, well, we're going to do 50-50 and 50 all this and that. Yeah, all it takes is one person to lose their job. Oh, that's all. All it takes is one cutback and they can't give as much as they used to. That's all. That arrangement is zero. Here it is. 50-50 don't mean I love you, and not doing 50-50 don't mean I don't love you. I just don't think that that's a foundation to start a relationship. I don't think that's a foundation for you to start a marriage. My thing is, you might be able to pay half of the bills, but are you committed to me? Who are you on the inside? What's your goals and your aspirations? Right? What? Exactly. And so the whole idea then is, I need us to begin to rethink and have better conversations. To have better conversations than we're having. Because I think we sometimes deal with the tentacles that we don't deal with the head of the octopus. We keep cutting at tentacles, and that's why the Hydra keeps growing, because we keep cutting off, we don't understand how to really deal with the situation at hand. And the issue is, quite frankly, we folks just don't trust each other. And that is the bottom line. Right? Because I don't want to struggle like I did before. But then stay by yourself. I want a man that don't struggle. I want a man that guarantees that. Nobody can guarantee you that. A billionaire can't guarantee you that, because he could be up today and have no money tomorrow. That's uncertain riches. The Bible warns us about trusting in uncertain riches. And having the look of prosperity, having the look of blessing, having the look of, all of this stuff, so that when you go out in the street, you can impress people who ain't really paying attention to you. Having all that stuff means nothing if at the end of the day, we don't have love, we don't have joy, we don't have peace in our home. There's chaos and confusion. You worried about whether I'm going out on you, or I'm worried about whether you're going out on me, because you're not already 100% in. You're only 50% in. Yeah. And so, again, here's the deal. where a man's treasure is, there his heart will be also. Right? We can identify where your heart is based upon where you invest your treasure. And so if you're putting 50% of your treasure in, what does that say about your heart? What does it say about your heart, bro? What does it say about your heart, sis? Ma'am, mother, father, rem doctor, deacon, what does that say about your heart? Is only if only 50% of your treasure is in the relationship, right? Hey, gotta take a break, y'all. not just the break, but a breath, right? Yeah, right here on the Culture Call with your boy Ellis Mr. Smith. I need y'all to keep it right here. There's so much more to come. This is the world. We are back. It's the top of the hour, 11 a.m. and some change, right here on the Culture Call. Praise 93.3 FM 790 WSK, The Truth, with your boy Elspeth Smith, and we are having an amazing day. Want to welcome all of our second hour listeners. Hey, welcome, y'all. We've been waiting on you at this layover, and so we're glad, super glad, that you are with us on this morning. Listen, y'all, make sure that you pay attention to the cash code. Don't miss your chance to win. You all know what to do. Handle your business. Absolutely. Listen, today we are talking about, yeah, should there be really a 50-50 in relationships? And you know, I hear all of the argument. I pastor young people, those who are looking for relationships, those who have been in interesting relationships, to say the least. And they're looking for ways to make it last. They want to find that one. And I get it. I get the argument. I get all of what, you know, the conversations, the dialogues. I hear the good stories. I hear the bad stories. I hear some stories where like, are you serious? Did that really happen? But, all in all, I get it. I understand. I'm doing this today just from particular, in particular from my lens, right? So please, when you hear me talk about this whole subject, it's from the specificity from my lens as one who have seen successful marriage, number two, one who is married, number three, one who is a Bible teacher and a academician, a student. I say student, I go away from, you know, a Bible scholar. I get away from that because I'm still learning. I'm still, you know, I'm still studying. I'm still researching the text, right? And so I don't want you to think that this is a conversation of judgment or one that castigates whatever decisions and whatever position you hold. Here's what Elle is saying today, y'all. Hold what you got. Do what works for you. You hear me? Do not think that I am saying you got to do this or you got to go back to your relationship and demand X, Y, Z. No. Here's what I am saying. What I am saying is, number one, that we all have people in our lives, positive people, not negative people. Well, you know, sometimes negative people can't be positive because they can positively show us what we should not do that will turn out negatively. So, yeah, you can find good in everything, right? But you have to figure out, what do you want as your outcome? What do you want as a man, as a woman, and for your outcome? Are you just wanting to be in relationships? Because, again, if you're just in a relationship without a covenant with regards to leading toward marriage, or you're not engaged or anything, or you're not anybody's fiance, or you're not betrothed, as they would say in old English, then, you know, having some 50-50, having some parameters of how much you invest might be wise, especially on the front end, right? I think that is wise. But I also am saying is that when you're going a step further, i.e. marriage, you know, where you're going to build a lasting relationship and what marriage is supposed to epitomize, then you got to start looking at that strategy as something that might segue or to lead you or to vector into an issue of a lack of trust, a lack of loyalty, a lack of really being in a healthy covenant, right? Because most covenants require blood, a sacrifice, some kind of way. And part of what we do, part of the marriage relationship, is this person is worth, here it is, y'all, me making the sacrifice for and with, right? And so, you know, if that is the foundation that we're going to do whatever makes this marriage work, then okay. And then y'all sit down and say, well, the way that we think that it will work is if we do 50-50, that's on y'all. Okay, let me say that again. That's on y'all. I've never seen it that way. Let me say that again. I've never seen it work 50-50. Never, never. But that could be my limited sight and my limited scope. I don't know everybody in the world. I don't dare to pretend to know that I know every marriage in the world. So I don't. But I am telling you, from what I've seen, that 50-50 paradigm just does not work, because in a marriage, life is going to life. Life changes. Things change. Things happen. You feel what I'm saying? And so if you come into it with a certain mindset of, well, this is what it's going to be, and this all I ain't going to do no more. Okay, then, yeah, we might have an issue. You feel what I'm saying? So you got to start thinking consistently and asking yourself, what do I really want and desire out of relationships? And you have to be honest with yourself concerning the level of relationships that you're on. That's the first thing. The second thing you got to do is, once you have honesty with yourself, let me go back to number one, because I don't want to move from that too fast. You also have to become self-aware. You got to understand yourself. You got to know what you can and cannot do, what you will and will not maintain. Well, and not only will not, but cannot. What you have the capability for and what you don't have the capacity to handle. Before you engage, before you get to dating seriously, before you get out here, you know, trying to give baddie eyes and trying to get in some kind of, no, before you understand, before you put on your cologne, sir, and you say, this is the night right here, I'm gonna make it permanent. Okay, cool. But like the text says, count up the cost. Because I think a lot of what we're having in relationships in America and right now is that folks want to build, but they're not counting up the cost. How much is going to take from them to make it happen? You know, when I first got married, I did not have a job. I had a degree, a fresh degree. I had a job. I had two babies, twins. They were twins. Don't think I had pow pow. It wasn't that. It was just pow, and then two came out of it. Nonetheless. Yeah. But my wife had a job, and she took care of most of it. She took care at that time about 80%. The only job that I could get was playing for a church and a mortuary. And that was like $250 a week before I got my first teaching job in Jacksonville, Florida. That paid me amply for my degrees and all that. I couldn't get a job. I didn't get to have a job. And so she carried that weight. And that was the agreement. And I told her, babe, for what you have done and for the sacrifice that you have made, that I'm going to spend the rest of my life making sure that I try my hardest to make sure that you've got everything that you need and everything that you desire. Yeah. And so that was 30 years ago. But yeah, our marriage did not start off 50-50. If that was the case, yeah, I wouldn't have been married. If that was the caveat that she came to the table with. But no, I loved her. And guess what? She loved me. We loved our children, and we wanted to have a family together. That's what we did. And we made it work. We made it work. We handled our business. It wasn't easy all the time, you know, but we made it work because we loved each other. We wanted to be together. Right. And so that's very important. Then as soon as I got my job and we got on our feet, her dad dies. And now that's another situation that just took us way by surprise. Didn't see that coming. Right? And so I had to pick up the slack because all she would do is go to work and come home and cry. And I let her do that. I fixed her food when she wanted to. I took care of the babies, both of them. You know, I gave her time. The night she was crying, I held her at night. Not for nothing else, because that's my wife and I loved her. See, these are the things you have to think about. These are the situations we have to think about. Then they're looking for a pastor here. And then they come to Jacksonville, Florida, and they say, we believe that God wants you to be our pastor. Okay, cool. So I have to uproot, because I was like, well, that wasn't even okay, cool, because I was like, yo, I'm good in Jacksonville. I'm good in Florida. I'm cool. You know, yo, I can rock right here. I'm still on the East Coast. I'm, you know, not too close, not too far away from my Geechee Gullah family in South Carolina. Yo, I can just travel up 95 and see my folks. But the Lord did something different. And so we uprooted our entire family, didn't have any moving money. All the money that we saved, it was invested in moving here. All the little pennies that we had saved, we were about to buy our first house. You see what I'm saying? See, those are the things, but we loved each other through the transition. We loved each other through every moment. And that is what has kept us together for 30 years. My thing is, because that's what our desire was. That's what our desire was. It was not to be, we weren't sitting at the table with tabulations and calculations and you know, digital processes and mathematical sequences to see, you know, and equations to see whether I could bring 50 and she could bring 50. That's not how, that does not a marriage and or a relationship make. What are you talking about? What are you doing here? Right? And then you get married then you get mad when something goes off, or, you know, well, I can leave. Then you didn't want this in the beginning. If leaving was that easy, if all it took was 51-49 to make you find an exit, then you never wanted to be with me in the first place. You never saw value in us being together. You never wanted this covenant with me. Yeah. If the percentages change 60-40, and that's enough for you to say, yo, I'm doing too much. Really? You're doing too much for the person you say you love? My perspective. Again, y'all. I ain't fursting at nobody. I'm just trying to make the conversation understanding what we're seeing now. Because for a lot of people now, that is the brain matter. That is the direction of the thought processes. That if we're dealing with if we're calibrating the worth of our relationship and the worth of our marriage based upon percentages of what you can and cannot bring to the table. What is this table anyway? What is this table? Y'all, I didn't even have a bed frame. All I had was a mattress on the floor with my wife's picture and the picture of my twins sitting by me in Jacksonville, Florida. That's all I had. That is all I had. You see what I'm saying? See, some people judge you and don't know your journey. And what I'm trying to tell you is, if you really love that individual, then be a part of their journey. Be a part of that journey. Stop. Don't rule her and say you're going to be a stay-at-home wife. Because guess what? It might be a day where something happened to you and she got to go find work to take care of the house. Because guess what? You can't. You know, you got to do what works for you. This is not an agrarian society. You know, this is not this is not a farm. You're not farm. You don't have chickens and pigs on a farm that she can go out and slay and cut. She don't have eggs that she can harvest and all that. Now, I saw my grandparents do that, and I used to help them during the summer. You know, gotta be careful of them snakes, eat them brown eggs and all kind of stuff. This ain't that. That, you know, going out shooting deer just to live. This is not, you know, that. No, this is the 21st century, 2025. And the way that we're approaching relationships is the destination of what our children will become. That's what I'm trying to say. And you got to figure out from the beginning, men and women, what do I want out of this? You know? So I'm very careful when I preach it, you know, because the text says that a man ought to make enough and so much so that the wife, he can take care of his wife without working for 1 year. And women used to come with dowries and all that kind of stuff. First of all, that's not American culture. Number two, that's the Near East culture. A lot of them too still do that today. They still have polygamy in the Old Testament in that time. And so it wasn't just one wife. It was wives. Abraham had wives. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Jacob had wives. Isaac, you know what I'm saying? So that's the kind of nature we were in. David had wives. Right? And so those, you know, so it's, you know, when people talk about biblical marriage, I'm like, dude, you can't know the Bible. I hear what you're saying, but there are cultural iterations when you say biblical marriage. You got to be very clear about what you mean. But then you're going to have somebody who's smarty and say, okay, what about this one? What about that one? What about this one? What about that one? What about this one? You know? Because there are examples. There are examples. Especially in the Old Testament. Yeah. See, then you got to pick what testament you're going to live in. Yeah. Well, Jesus said, I hear what Jesus said. I'm very clear. I'm not saying I'm not a proponent of polygamy or any kind of situation. I'm just saying you got to be careful what you say and be ready for the pushback and be a credible apologist for what you believe. That's all I'm saying. You know? And so if you want to be at a stay-at-home wife, say that up front. But understand what the nuances what that means. Say it to you want to. See, because you can't want just somebody to take care of you, what you're saying in a marriage, I just want my man to take care of me. Okay, but what happens when the children come? Yeah. See, you got to understand. Count up the cost. Culture call, that's what you got to do. Count up the cost. And that's the reality. That is reality. And not many people in this hour are counting up the cost. They're following the trend. They're not counting up the cost. What are they doing? Following the trend altogether. You see what I'm saying? And so it's important for us to understand that most people, they're not counting up the cost. They're following the trend. And because they're following the trend, good. I get it. But the trend is not going to last because the trends change. Right? What do you as a person want out of it? If you marry a man, here's the deal, y'all. If you marry a man that says, I don't want my wife to work, and you are ambitious, but all you want to do is be married, so you say, I do, then you come under the law and under the vow of what you just promised. Yes, he said he didn't want a wife to work. You had ambitions. You were working at the time. All right, you quit your job, but now you're looking at all your girlfriends and they got jobs, they're upwardly mobile, they get promotions, and now you mad at your husband. No, be mad at you. Sir, you said you didn't want a woman that worked. Now she ain't working. You know, now she's not doing that, and now they're cutting back on your job and things get rough. Don't be mad at her. You told her that that's what you wanted. You see? And so now you got to work, and here it is. And if and when the plan changes, you have an obligation and a responsibility to say that things have changed. You got a responsibility to say that, because we don't like to address the fact that when things change, we got to change with the things that have changed. Did y'all hear what I just said? See, we got an issue of when things change, we have to change with the things that have changed. And if you don't like that, then okay. Then let's talk about what the real is. Let's talk about what's really on your mind, because I think that's very important. That is very, 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 very important. And some people, they get mad at things. They get, that you know, I hear what you're saying. No, hear me. I'm not even talking about, do you hear what I'm saying? I'm trying to get you to understand that you got to accommodate more than what you think. But it starts off with you being honest with yourself. And if you are not, here it is, honest with yourself, then that is going to be highly problematic. That's going to be highly problematic. Because then you're going to get into it and then be mad every day. Man, she ain't. Okay, bro, but that ain't what you said, though. If the plans change, don't you think that ought to be a come to Jesus meeting? Don't you think that ought to come, let us reason together? Don't you think that that's worth you going outside and saying, hey, or going out and saying, hey, let's go out to dinner. I just got some things I want to share with you. Don't you think that's a conversation? Stop acting surprised in the middle of the situation when it was what it was at the beginning and you were fine. And then things started changing and you refused to have a conversation about it. Now you're mad and you're trying to get a way out of it. Now, listen, I'm not trying to be your marriage counselor. I'm just talking about what makes sense. Stop being mad at people and stop being the victim in a situation that you created. You were the initial violator for making that decision. You just didn't have that insight and that foresight that this thing was going to change on you. That's the issue. That's why you mad, sir. Sis, that's why you upset. You mad because you made a promise based upon information of the right then. But the truth of the matter is, you got to start thinking, can I really, 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 really live up to this? Is this really, really, really something that I want for my life? Do I really have what it takes in terms of the investment to make it last forever, like Keith Sweat would say? Is that my goal? Is that really what I want out of this? Be honest with yourself. You know, like I was listening to this thing on social media and this lady, she was going, oh, he ought to be able to do this. He ought to be able to do that. Now I need 50-50. I'm out here with high power women. I'm out here with high power people. I need him to be okay. And I'm like, bro, let her go. Bro, listen, this ain't the kind of woman. This kind of woman only looks good on TV and social media graphics, airbrushed. You live with this woman, you're going to lose your hair and probably some other things, maybe your sanity. Because she already telling you, she's coming in comparing you to people that you don't even hang around. That's not even your community. That's not even your, no. She's not comparing you with the rest of your boys. She's comparing you with the CEOs and all those other folks that she worked with. And if they're high power people and you know you're just a faithful, good, you know, guy that works every day, a 9-to-5, come home, take care of your family. If you know you ain't got access to the country club, you ain't got access to the high powered, restaurants and to the high powered meetings and cliques. If you already know that, then don't even have that conversation. All right, sis, I bid you Godspeed. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we absent one from another. Yeah, all of that. Send her right on. But Bishop, she pretty. They got money. There's plenty pretty women in the world. What do you mean? Pretty ain't worth a headache. My God. Ain't that something right there, y'all? I said pretty ain't worth a headache. Pretty is not worth the stress. It's not worth an aneurysm. If he's saying he want XYZ, this kind of woman, and you got all this going on for you, but he don't want you to do nothing, and he want to control the purse bags and all that, and he'll give you and ration you out, and you know that's not your kind of woman. Ma'am, I don't care how bold his legs are, how brown and wavy his hair might be, his dreads flow down, his locks down to the length of his shoulders. He ain't the one. No. That's going to come back and bite you on the patookas. It is. is going to come back to bite you. So then why, folks, why play yourself like that? Why do we do that? Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pains we bear. Why do we subject ourselves to those things? You know what I'm saying? It's just what it is, what it is. And you've got to start being honest with yourself. I think the next singles relationship conference I have is going to be called Be Honest With Yourself. This ain't about pointing the fingers about to any other you know, sexes. It ain't about the other person. It's about holding up a mirror to you and telling the truth. Because, you know, as Shakespeare says, to thine own self be true. If you're going to lie to anybody else, please, 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 please don't lie to yourself. Don't do it. Don't do it. And I mean, that's just facts. Don't do it. Do not lie to yourself. If you are going to be or desirous of long-lasting relationships, then you also have to find someone who is mutually invested in a long-lasting relationship. Culture call, please hear me what I'm saying. Marriages in our community, marriages, they can work. Call me the eternal optimist. Call me, that's cool. But it's going to take work. I don't care if you have all the money in the world. I don't care if you're both successful in industry. It's going to take work. And then, when you add the paprika on the salad, on the potato salad, the children, Listen, children will make you reevaluate your place on the planet. Facts. Children will make you evaluate what you really know to be true. Y'all better hear me when I tell you. Children will make you think twice. You're like, yo, listen. At a toddler stage, at this stage, at that stage. No, they won't. Listen. I'm friends. It's like, yo, hey, man, this marriage thing is, and then this children, man, these kids. And I'm like, yo, I raised 4 children. Right? And so I'm telling you, you got to be able to stand through changes. You got to be able to be a father. You got to be able to be nurturing. You got to know when to cut yourself off and come home, because your boys need you present. Your girl needs you to wrap your arms around her. Your wife needs to relax sometimes, because normally handling children is what people call stupidly women's work, because it's not. A woman was just the vehicle that you had them through. But sir, I promise you, you were there. So, no, that's partnership. Now we got to figure out, you know, you pick up this one from elementary school. I'll pick up the 2 from middle school. I'll do that. Yeah, this one needs some money. So what you got in your Cash App? Because they got to pay something at school that they didn't tell us. And yet today is the deadline. And you want to be big bad. Well, I guess you ain't going to get it. Parents say that now. But if you love your children, you're going to find a way to make things happen. You feel what I'm saying? Absolutely. So when children come, that 50-50 is way out the door. But because again, you know, we thinking we got lives as nannies. That all we're going to have, the nanny's going to take care of my children. No, ain't no nanny. What kind of nanny? Thank God that my wife's grandmother retired and took care of my children when they couldn't go to school. Thank goodness. She was like, oh, this is great. she found a way so that we could be, you know, that we could do things. But here is the reality, y'all. The reality is that life on every level. Life is going to life on every level. And if you do not count up the full cost of being a commitment in the covenant, I'm telling you, 50-50 is a non-starter if you're trying to have a lasting relationship. If you're trying to have it like your grandparents and your parents had it, 50-50 is not the foundation of that marriage. I'm telling you what I know, not what I think. I'm telling you what I know. And so now you got to start reevaluating. Culture call, you got to start reevaluating. Listen, we got to take a break, but I need y'all to keep it locked right here on the Culture Call with your boy, L. Spencer Smith. There's so much more to come, and I promise you, it's going to be a blessing to you. And we are back having a wonderful day on the Culture Call with your boy, L. Spencer Smith. And we are talking about, should men and women really go 50-50 in relationships and in marriage? And I'm telling you, that's a crazy question. But it is a relevant one in our culture. And I think we need to do a better job in creating conversation to make sure that we really understand what the value and the relationship of who and what we bring to the table really is. I think that, you know, when we look at it from the lens of the past, they again, as I said at the beginning, they didn't have these conversations about roles, what I would and would not do, right? At least from my perspective, it was about whatever needed to be done for the family, you know. And that's definitely somehow what I use today in 2025 in my marriage. And definitely what I would tell my children when it's their turn. You know, we raised you to be high value people, intelligent, caring, smart, you know, loving the Lord, have a spiritual relationship with God. And we know that that you have big dreams and aspirations. Okay, that's the benchmark. Then that's who you need to be praying for, looking for, discerning in your atmosphere, right? Because I've lived long enough to know that everything that glitters is not a diamond, you know, and everything shiny ain't gold. It is just not, that's not how that works. And so people can become what you need them to be in the moment that they feel like you need them to be that, but then you get them and then they change. And so that becomes highly problematic. You know, that becomes highly problematic. And so when we don't do the work, we won't do the veritable work for all of that, you know, in terms of what needs to happen and what needs to be taken care of. Yeah, that becomes, you know. And so one of the things I think that we really, really, really need to understand is that part and parcel of who we are and what we have and the ability to make certain that, you know, I'm not just in something just to be into something. You know, I am really into this because I believe that this person is valuable to where I'm going, to what I have. You know, I really think that this person can fit to what I know is my is my desire. And if you can't do that, hear it again. If you can't do that, then that's an indicator. Let me say it again. That is an indicator that, yeah, maybe this person is not for me. Maybe this person is not what I need. Maybe this person is not, you know, who I thought was for me. And I think that's very important. And so, and most people, they don't think that way. Unfortunately, they do not think that way. And so, if you do that, then guess what? Then you're going to end up in unhappiness. You're going to end up in a problematic situation. You're going to end up understanding that, okay, wait a minute, what's really going on here? You're going to end up like, yo, I thought ABC XYZ. Yeah, and then that's going to be highly problematic. Why? Because now I'm with somebody that don't really, really want to be with me. They're really not invested in me. You know? And if that be the case, if that then be the case, then the question becomes, you know, what in the world do I do now? Because there are a lot of people right now trying to figure out, what do I do now? I hear what you're saying, but what do I do with that now? I'm already invested. So you got to make sure that when you do these, you know, these pre-arrangements, that everybody understands from the jump, this is what this costs. I'm not looking for somebody who's not going to be with me on my journey. That's what you say. Parents, that's what we tell our young people to say. I'm not interested in somebody that's going to drop me if I fall, or not going to help me get back up if I fall. I'm not interested in someone that's just going to have me out here struggling by myself if my life changes, because I can't predict what 2 years is going to be. A year, you can't predict what tomorrow is going to be, really. And I don't need somebody who's just in it, you know, just like, you know, it's convenient for me. It's convenient for you. Oh, this is what this is? Oh, okay. No, I need somebody who is absolutely invested in my best interest. And that goes beyond 50%. Why? Because there's 100% of me that I'm bringing to this relationship. And if you can't be there for the 100, if you cannot be there for the 100% of what I'm bringing, then guess what? Maybe, just maybe, you're not the person that I need in my life. And it's okay to say that. Let me say that again. And it's okay to say that. Some days you might have to pick up the cleaning, sir, on your way from work. Why? Because she's busy trying to make sure that, you know, she had the grocery shop. Or she's in the middle of cooking and, you know, she might have forgot the cleaning. What you going to say? Oh, well, you just get it tomorrow. Then you're going to fuss when you get home because you ain't got no clean shirts. No, man. If you passing by the cleaners, cut all that foolishness out and pick up the shirts, bro. And stop all that 50-50. You're just helping each other. You're doing whatever. You know, what amazes me is a lot of times poor people having rich people conversations. That none of us came with silver spoons in our mouths. None of us came like that. Nobody. And so to think that you deserve that when you didn't even come from that and you can't even produce that by yourself. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? That is important. That is important. And we got to start doing better about by saying, yeah, I might need you to hold me. I might need you to be there for me. I might need you to stand with me. And if you can't do that, then hey, the most you're good for is coffee and not a covenant. You're good for coffee, but not a commitment. You're good for Starbucks, but you ain't good for stability. You feel what I'm saying? And again, you've got to be honest about it. And it's okay to be honest about it. It's okay. I think when we're honest about it, honest with ourselves. You see, when we're honest with ourselves, then we could be honest with each other. You know, that I need more. I'm going to need a bigger investment than that. You're not. No, I'm not. I'm not here for that. I am not here for that. And so, hey, we have to start thinking about it. And we got to start passing this down to our children and our children's children so that we can begin to build our community again with a lasting family. Lasting family. Right? So that we can begin to, because what I'm talking about right now is, I'm talking about relationships, but it's systemic, y'all. Because broken homes, it says broken people, broken children, broken generations, they make broken decisions. I mean, it starts declining all that when you don't think about it. You know? And so we got to start having those hard conversations. We really, really, really do. And we got to be okay with it. What y'all think? What you thinking about? You know, my children are at that age, you know? They're at that age now. And, you know, and we talk about it all the time. Like, what you looking for? Tell daddy what you're looking for, man. Let me help you navigate. I can't choose who you're going to be with. I had my prerogative to choose who I wanted. Parents, hear ye me, culture call. Stop trying to, you know, give your children, give advice, coach, you know, give them warning and pray for them to increase discernment. But don't go saying this one or that one is the one I want you to be with. No, because if it mess up, it's on you. It's on you. Give them guidance. Give them all, you know, because we told our kids, hey, this is what the issue is. This is who we are in the world. This is what God has placed in our lives as the Smith family to do in the earth. Now, you choose accordingly who you bring into this. They got to understand what this is. And so, yes, they become a part of our legacy. So, yeah, definitely. So don't bring somebody over here that's, you know, disrespectful to their parents and all that kind of stuff. Because, nah, that's not how we roll over these streets. That's not how we do it. Right? You have that conversation. But don't get into these manipulative things as parents trying to pick the person. No, help them and say, okay. Yeah, I see some things. I don't like that conversation. You need to say this, and you need to have a conversation. Give them their own agency so that they can know that they have value in that relationship. And break up all that, you know, well, I'm just going to do 50%. I'm telling you the truth. Telling you the facts. One season in life can change those percentages forever. And if all you are is a 50-50 percentage to somebody, you don't need them, period. Listen, we're about to land this plane, Culture Call, but we got to take one more break. I need y'all to keep it locked right here on the Culture Call with your boy, L. Spencer Smith.
This is the world from here.
Well, family, it is that time again. I know. Don't cry. Hey, guess what? We'll be back tomorrow. Yeah, it's the time to land this plane and end this amazing show. I tell you, and I have enjoyed talking to y'all and sharing with y'all today about should men and women do 50-50, especially in marriage. And I'm excited about reading the chat. I saw some post in there, and so I'm going to be going on with that. And I'm telling you, it's going to be an interesting conversation. Hey, use that app if you still want to ask me questions and you don't want to chat it up with me. I am always looking at the chat to make sure that I don't miss anyone. It is important, ma'am, important, sir, that you are a part of the conversation. I hope you all heard what I said today, though. I want to make sure that we have great understanding with regards to moving forward and being what we need to be in terms of fortifying our relationships. It starts with self-awareness. It starts with telling the truth to yourself about really what you want. Not temporarily, but what do you want as an enduring measure in your life? Second, you also have to find someone that's willing to come to the table with that same kind of understanding. You have to have an idea of how it works and what you're willing to do to make it work, because it all can work. Let me say it again. It all can work, but you got to make it work. You feel what I'm saying? Absolutely. Listen, at the end of every phone call, my grandmama and my mom used to say, I love you a bushel. I love you a peck. I love your hug around the neck. Listen, this has been the Culture Call with your boy Elspeth Smith right here on Praise 93.3 FM, 790 WTSK, The Truth. And it is my prayer that as you go throughout the day, that you be well and you do well and you love each other mightily. Love each other. Hug them, hold them. Just text them, tell them that you care about them. You just never know how far that's going to go. Until tomorrow morning from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m., I want you to have a great and peaceful day. Y'all be blessed. Peace.